on page 93. You remember there was a conversation taking place between a father was bringing a child to a chuppah, who was trying to understand, was asking a person who was a malumad, Talmud Chacham, what does the Zohar Kaddish mean? That the neshamas of the parents, of the grandparents, are brought down from Shemaim, are brought from Elam Haba to be under the chuppah. What does that mean, that they're brought to be under the chuppah? Since when is there a place, a physical place, as if there's some distance between that place and this place? There's some, as if there's an address, a place in the universe that's called Olam Haba, that's called Gan Eden, and the tzaddikim are in that place, and we send an invitation, and we ask the Zaydis and the Babis who are over there to come to this place, to leave that place and to come to this place. And Bechlal, what does it mean that the Neshama is in Olam Haba? What does that mean that a neshama is someplace? How could a neshama be someplace? We're not talking about a body, something physical where a person is here or a person is there. So we began last week, we began to talk about the way that the Talmud Chacham answered, the way that he began to explain. And this ties together all that we were learning in the first maimer with this maimer. How to understand the union of machshava and the shama. And he began to explain that the same way that when a person's thoughts are deeply, deeply invested in something, so a person is chalila, for an example, a person is very, very sad, and his entire mind, his whole being, is in that nekuda of sadness, what's making him sad. So he's mechuba to that mitzias of sadness, to that place of sadness, even though it's not a physical place. It's not a physical place, of course. Nevertheless, the chibur, the attachment in ruchnias between the person and that inyan that he's thinking about, that he's sad about, that he's worried about, is so strong that we learned it's kilu, he's there. He's more there than he is where he is right now, because if you would talk to him about something else, he could hardly discuss it with you. He could hardly carry on a conversation with you about the place that he's physically in. Because he's much more in that place where his mind is. He's much more in that place. Even though his body is here, he's hardly in this place. He's much more in that other place. And similarly, when the neshama is separated from the guf, we're not talking about location and a place here or there. The neshama, when it's freed of that kesher to the guf, is able to exist in its natural state of dveikus to Hashem, of complete and total dveikus to Hashem. And in that state of dveikus to Hashem, where there is nothing separating anymore between kivyachal Hashem is baruch and that neshama, that's the meaning of the neshama being in the Olam Haba. That's the place of the neshama. Again, there's no address. It's the mitzias of the neshama in its natural state of a chelik elokam imal that's been restored to its place, to its origin, to its makor in elokus. And mimela, the neshama has no interest or desire and feels no ability to turn its attention to anything else. To anything else. Ad kidei kach, but the Zohar Kodesh says that Hashem Yisbarach sends the neshama to be by the chuppah. Which again doesn't mean that there are little angels fluttering down into the chasna. Doesn't mean under the chuppah. Doesn't mean that they're coming in, flying in neshamas. It means that for that time, Hakadosh Baruch Hu unnaturally tears that machshava of dveikus, takes the drop that's in the ocean of dveikus Hashem and takes it out, so to speak, not physically, turns its eyes to, once again towards this world, to the children and to the grandchildren who are standing under the chuppah. Because the neshama is not bechlal in that place of this world. And of chasmas, and of children, and of grandchildren, of the physical goof, which it's thrilled to be rid of, and to be finished with. So there's a special chiddush, that Hashem is baruch, that's what the Zohar is saying, that Hashem is mechadesh, to this chiddush of the neshama seeing once again, that there's a world, that there are children and grandchildren, and there's a chasana. And to be focused on that, for that time, for those moments, which of course is Masha Gevaldige Brochus to the Chasna Kala, and gives the Chasna Kala the ability to join the Hemshech of generations from the beginning of time, till the end of time. Page 93, Himshech v'amalai, he continued and explained to him, Havein oid, you need to understand more, Havein oid. Olam haba ein olam ala. You know, people always, when they talk about olam haba, or they talk about the world of truth, they look up to Shemayim, you know, they look up to the heavens, as if olam haba is someplace over there. There's a place, Olam Haba. The emphasis is, of course, Olam Haba Einu Lamala. It's not someplace up above. And Olam Haza Einu Lamata. And for that matter, Olam Haza is not something which is not a Metzius that's down below. What is the whole inyan of Maila and Mata, Lamala and Lamata, above and below? Olam Haba and Olam Haza. It's so different than we think. Musage Milo Mata Shayachim Bebal Oyach Roichiv Oiv. The whole musag of something being above and below, the whole concept is only Shayachim. We're talking about something physical. There's no above and below. Hamotzi B'mokim Mesuyim Bilvad. When something can be in a specific place, then yesh lo tzdodim v'gaiva. It has sides, it has height, it has length, it has width. It's measured by the dimensions of physical reality. Rak ba'olam hageshem yesh musagim ma'alo mata. And therefore, only in the physical world is the bechlala musag of lamala and lamata, above and below. Kegoin kaima tachtaina kaima elyaina. A lower floor in a building, a higher floor. Mishum shekol kaima mechila pratim achem. Every floor takes up a certain amount of space, and that space contains within it, if it's a building, this office, that office, whatever is found on that particular floor that distinguishes it from the other floors. So you have a basement and a first floor, a second floor, and so on. Ulekach nitzreches lo mitziyah shetiyam yuchedes lo. Every single thing in the physical world requires a space, even a molecule. It's a tiny, tiny little space, but it takes up space. So too, there's a first floor and a second floor, and so on. Mokum shalah, and that mokum, as small as it is, or as big as it is measured in length and width and height and whatever. Bram. Kechol sheyedubar al musagim ruchniim, But when we're talking about Ruchnis Dika Musagim, when we're talking about something in Ruchnis, Mufshatim Menagashmis, something that's completely beyond anything in Gashmis. Something that's completely abstract. It has not abstract like something that you've seen before and in your mind you can envision. Because in your mind you could also envision this as having certain dimensions. So you're thinking back on that building that you were in or that office that you were in, and you could remember and you could think about it, and you can see in your mind, you could see the shape and of that room and what was in the room, the desk and the chair and so on. That's all part of our musig of physical metzias. But when something is mufshit min hagashmis, it's bechlal not gashmis. Yuvan ki mishkan ha'avonish lach musig makom. Obviously, makom, place, doesn't mean the same thing. It means something different. Kegoin. And here's a very simple mashal of how we could understand in Ruchnius. What's the meaning of makom in Ruchnius? Kegoin kasha oimim shiyelad ola mikita aleph likita beis. In Lashon HaKodesh, the correct way to describe that matzav of a child being promoted from first grade to second grade is an aliyah. That he was oila from kita aleph to kita beis. He went up from first grade to second grade. Gam kasha kita beis matzuyu b'kayma yoseh tachtayim b'kita aleph, and that could be very interesting. What if second grade is? What if the second grade classroom is in the basement? What if the second grade class is in the basement? So he's leaving first grade. First grade, let's say, was on the fifth floor, and he's going to second grade, and second grade is in the basement. Still, in Lashon HaKodesh, which is the Lashon of creation, which is the Lashon that's Emes, the way to describe that promotion from first grade to second grade is that the child was Oila. That he went up. Even though, as far as the elevator or escalator or staircase is concerned, the kid went down. Could be he went down four stories. But he went up. Because he went from first grade to second grade. Zois mishum sha'aliyah zu, because this aliyah, ein mashmu usa kiva ilma gashmi. It's not the same thing, not ilma gashmi. It's not the same thing. Let's say if a person is living in a beautiful mansion, he's living in a beautiful mansion somewhere, you know, in the five towns, and he moves to Eretz Yisrael, and he's living in a Merkaz Klita, an absorption center. So as far as the Mitzvahs of this world is concerned, he was living in a beautiful mansion with many rooms and a beautiful garden and a tennis court and a swimming pool. And now he's living in some tiny little apartment, Chesim Chadeira or something. And still, what would we say about, how would we describe that most recent event in that person's life? We would say that he what? He made Aliyah. He was Oila. He went up. He went up. Anybody else in the world that doesn't understand what that means, as a soul, would say, he went up. This guy went very, very far down. Very far down. He was living in a big, beautiful home in a beautiful neighborhood. Now he was living in some tenement in Eretz Yisrael. It was an aliyah. Because it's a whole different musig in Ruchnius. What does it mean to go up and to go down? Ein mash musig kiva ilum hagash milalis mokum nomach mokum gavoa. In the physical world, it means to go from some place that's lower to some place that's physically higher. So from the basement to the fifth floor is an aliyah. And from the fifth floor to the basement is a yerida. Meduber al aliyah mikitnis al gadlus. But when in Ruchnius, when we're talking about a person's place, such a simple mashal. When we're talking about a person's place in Ruchnius, we're not talking about where he is, whether he's in New York or he's in Lahavil, he's in Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about katnis and gadlus. katnus and gadlus, a lower madrega and a higher madrega. In ruchnis is something else. It's not the same thing as in this world. Elasagas chachma. A person who acquires greater understanding of Torah, for him that's an aliyah. Even though it could be that he's in a place that is not so terrific. But the hasaga of chachma is an aliyah. Where else do you have in the world where you have a ben Torah? That you have a ben Torah, let's say, that Hashem Yirachem, but he hasn't been learning, he hasn't been davening, he's been doing things that he shouldn't be doing, and he got himself mixed in with the crowd, and he got himself mixed in with a girl, and this girl is the envy of all of the chevron. He asks this guy, how's he doing? He says, I'm going through a yerida. So the rest of the guys, they say, a yerida? How we should all be zayche for such a yerida? You're having a big aliyah. That's the prettiest girl on the block. That's a big aliyah. We've all been trying to go out with for the last couple of years. And look at that. And this guy says, no, trust me, I'm having a terrible yerida. Who else in the world talks like that? I'm having a yerida. What kind of yerida? You're doing great. Keep up the good work. And he says, yerida. Why are you having yerida? Because I'm not sitting by the ancient Talmud for 12 hours a day. Instead, what am I doing? Look at me. I'm going running around with this girl. And they look at each other. And say, that sounds good. He's not sitting by an old book. He's hanging around with a girl the whole day. What could be better than that? And he says, I'm going through a yerida. Look, I'm having a yerida. He goes to tzaddikim, goes to the Rebbe, goes to the Shashiva. I'm having a yerida. Because the way that a Jew looks at himself is not by this place or that place, or by something from this world, this girl or that girl, this boy or that boy. He looks at himself in terms of his asogas meruchnias. An aliyah means a madrega that's higher. And a yerida means a descent. It means a lower madrega. That's how we look at the world. So to go to Eretz Yisrael, even though you're going to a tiny little apartment, that's called aliyah. To go to Chutz La'aretz, even though you're going to some magnificent mansion, it's called a yerida. He's a yerid. It's not something physical you could say that now the person went to a higher place. So people that are because the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael is the highest place in the world. So then all the big professors say no, it's not the highest place in the world. And they take out their maps or their globes and they say, you see, there's a higher place, the Poconos. Wherever is higher. That's higher than Eretz Yisrael. As if that's the way Chazal are talking, what's considered to be higher. Well, then Chazal say that Eretz Yisrael is at the center of the world. So the professor says, ha, center. What kind of center? It's there. It's round. There's no center of the world. What does it mean, the center of the world? Because when they use Lashanis of physical makam, of space, they're not talking about Gashmias. They're not talking about space that's measured in that way, high, across, above, below. They're talking about Madregas. And Eretz Yisrael is the center of the world. And Yerushalayim is the highest place in the world. Vekamta v'alisa. Makes no difference where you live. When you go to Yerushalayim, it's Vekamta v'alisa. Even if you have to go down from someplace. You live on top of Mount Everest. And you want to go to Yerushalayim, it says Vekamta v'alisa. You have to get up and go to Yerushalayim. Nobody else has things like this, only us. And we talk in the language of truth. Bekamta v'alisa, to go up. Bekamta v'alisa. The guy said, I live on Mount Everest. Well, I'm not going up, I'm going down. It's a big yerida for me to go down from Mount Everest to get to Yerushalayim. So no, it's not. It's a big aliyah for you to go from Mount Everest to Yerushalayim. It's bekamta v'alisa. It's not something you could point to and say, Hatachtain hulamata, the elyon hulamala, that the lower one is down below and the higher one is up there. Kishlivos sulam haboyim zelamalam yizel, like the rungs on a ladder, that there's a lower rung and there's a higher rung, and you can look at it and say that's the lower one, that's the higher one. We're talking about something altogether different. It's completely different. Maila hakavana yaseruchni. When you say that something is lamala, it means it's closer to the Rabbi Shalom. It means it's closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't mean physically. There's nothing that's without Hashem. It means that it's on a madrega that's higher than it was before, and that madrega brings this person or whatever brings it closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yoseh Ruchni means less Gashmi and more Ruchni. Ubal Erech, with greater value. That's what it means when there's a Lamaila or there's a Lamata. It has to do with the worth of something, what it's worth. Mata hakavan lahepach, and down below is the opposite. Habitui hashogra v'sifrei kedshenu. So the lashon that we find in the svarim, shan neshama oyle lamalo. You say the neshama should have an aliyah, right? You give a bracha to a person as a yard side. You say no. Your father's neshama should have an aliyah. That the neshama is oyle lamala. When a person's 120, so the neshama is oyle lamala. So again, we think like children, or like people who are not Jewish, and we think of little wings and fluttering up above, and that this is what it means, that the neshama is oyle lamala, or the neshama should have an aliyah. And you think of the neshama being on one floor, and then the neshama is so excited because they let him up to another floor, to a higher floor. This lashon of oyle lamala is lashon she'ulehi. We're just borrowing words that are used to describe the physical space, but that's not what it is. An aliyah means when something's on a higher madrega. Doesn't mean that it's physically higher. So we use that lashon. We borrow that lashon that the neshama has an aliyah. Doesn't mean it goes someplace. It means that in terms of its chashivas, in terms of its closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something has changed for the better. That's what it means. Akein, Dveikus Beruchni Tikar Aliyah. Therefore, Dveikus in Ruchnius is called an Aliyah. When a person is called up to go to the Torah, it's called an Aliyah. Again, who talks like this? He's going up to the Torah. He's being called up to the Torah. He has an Aliyah. The closer one is to the Bari Olam, the closer one is to Torah and so on, it's called an Aliyah. And the opposite, getting further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is called a Yerida. Go to the next paragraph. That's a little bit of a deal, it's not important for now. Ella, on the bottom of the page. Ella. Shemeacher v'derech haloshim levate ilui al bar erech al kain hurga lizbate b'loshin aliyah lizikach ruchani. Therefore we use the word aliyah. We use the word la'alois and aliyah when something has achieved more refinement. In other words, it's less bound to the physical. It's more refined, less coarse, more spiritual. That's called an aliyah. The yirida el ahepach. And the yirida is the opposite. Azek lal bor. But it's absolutely clear. And we have to stop thinking like this, in this immature way of looking at things. Ein musage mailo mata beruchni. There's no such thing as up and down when it comes to ruchnis. There's no such thing. Kenoy de ma sheirichu b'svam al kach Ba'aliyas ha'olam is b'shabbos kodesh. Therefore, the Sfarim talk a lot about, we learned in the past, about the aliyas ha'olam is on Shabbos. That somehow on Shabbos there's an aliyas ha'olam is. That the worlds rise on Shabbos. There's an aliyas ha'olam is on Shabbos. So what do you think that's like? Stars are moving and planets and there's an aliyas ha'olam is. What does it mean aliyas ha'olam is? It doesn't mean that a lower world goes up to a higher world. Kilo over the next page, 94. Yimakim amakim, as if it passes, as if it goes from one place to another place. It means that on Shabbos, the olam is are elevated and ruchnias to a higher madrega. More refined, closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, less blocking Hashem, less covering Hashem. Same thing when a person says a bracha on a glass of water. So that water has an aliyah. So what does it mean the water has an aliyah? The water that does not aliyah, the water goes down, the hatch. The water doesn't have an aliyah. What kind of an aliyah does the water have? You say, you make a bracha. The Sfarim say that through the bracha, that water has an aliyah. It goes up. It doesn't go up. It means that there's a biru that takes place, as we're learning in Tanya, that water until now was stam klipas noiger, right? Here or there, we don't know what's going to be with it. And the person is mevara, the person clarifies, and is megalu the elokus in this water, by saying that this is the Dvar Hashem, this is the Baruch Shalom Zinyan. And the person removes the covering and reveals the elokus, and in doing so, the water has an aliyah. And the Sfarim will describe the water, the Sfarim, in Tanakh, the water is besimcha. The ushafta mayim besosin is not just going on the people who are drawing the water, but the water itself is rejoicing. That's the pshat and pnimis. Ushafta mayim besosin. V'mayne ha-yeshua. What's the Yeshua? The Yeshua is when Jews are taking the water and instead of using the water stam for nothing, the water is being used for nisach hamayim and to the mizbech b'samikdash, and it's being brought to a place of sheish and rebreishis, such an aliyah the water has. No, shafta mayim is also mimayna Yeshua. That's the Yeshua of the water, because the water has a gevaldig aliyah. Through the decisions that we make of what to do with the water, so that water has a Yeshua. Otherwise, what would it be? What would it be? It would be stam. It would be nothing. It would be stam water. But through the ushafta mayim, through the nisach hamayim, and the whole all the hachanis from nisach hamayim, so the ushafta mayim is also my name Yeshua. The water has a big aliyah. It's now an inyan of elokus, that it's not that elokus is not hidden through this water. The elokus is being revealed through this water. Ela kavana, page 94 on the top. Ela kavana shemakabel es dargis ha'elyon. It receives a madrega that was higher than the madrega it had before. That's the inyan of the aliyas idolmas on Shabbos. Whatever that means in Kabbalah, it's not for now. But we could understand that with everything from this world. But this table has an aliyah. Wherever this table was bought, I don't know in what store, wherever the table was bought, that there were thousands and thousands of tables that probably this place sells a year, and that this table had an aliyah. This table had an aliyah. Whether another table ended up in another shul or a bismedrash or someplace, or in the home of a Jew that he's able to sit there and to make brachas and to sing Shabbos meals, they had an aliyah. Even though we're going to say this table, it's an aliyah. What kind of an aliyah is it sitting on the floor? It's not an aliyah. How is it in any way higher than it was before? Because it's not talking about, obviously, space. It's talking about zakus, about it being more transparent, not being thick and covering God, but being something in which you can see God, through which God can be felt and experienced and seen. That's an aliyah. That's the meaning of being oil to Eretz Yisrael, the aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. In Cain, so we understand. In Cain. Oilam haba enim tzias hamatsui b'mokim asuim l'mayla. Therefore, nobody should be upset or disappointed, but Olam Haba is not some sort of a thing, some place up in heaven. Gavoa v'harchik m'Olam Hazeh, far away from Olam Hazeh. There's no such thing as these kind of concepts of far and close, up and down. Olam haba kaim b'chol makom b'metzias habriya. Olam haba exists right now, everywhere. Everywhere is olam haba. To metzias that was created. V'hina mitzias ruchanis shagilui kvayt Hashem isbarach l'loy hester. Olam haba means that mitzias of ruchnius, where the covet of Hashem is revealed, and it's not hidden. That's called olam haba. Where the covet of Hashem is revealed and not hidden. It's not somewhere you go to. Which of course is the big, big oinig of the neshamas. When the neshama leaves the guf, again, and leaving the guf, also, that's not talking about a physical thing. But once the person is no longer alive, and the neshama is able to be in a state where it's able to experience elokus without anything blocking. Without anything of this world lacking, without any hest upon him, which that mitzvah is called Vahayu Einecha Ra'is Es Meirecha, that your eyes will be able to see your teacher, meaning Hashem. It doesn't mean physical eyes, and it doesn't mean that Hashem has a physical body. But it means that there's a gilui of Elokus, that Elokus is revealed and understood without anything blocking, and that's the oinig haneshamas of Eden Haruchas. That's Gan Eden. That's the oinig haneshamas, and that's the Eden Haruchas. In the Slalom of Sfarim, there's a lashon from the tzaddikim that it's a pachet. The lashon is that a person who wasn't able to have any oinig Shabbos in this world, and emes an oinig ruchnis to oinig Shabbos in this world, in the next world he's going to sit like a shtick holtz, a piece of wood. An olam haba, he'll be an olam haba because he kept Shabbos. So what does that mean? It'd be like a shtick holtz, like a piece of wood. He sat during Shabbos like a piece of wood in this world, and he'll sit like a piece of wood in the next world. What does that mean? You thought that you go someplace, and then they take you over the rainbow, and you come to this big palace, and it's gewaldig over there. No, he has the same. That's what we're going to explain. And we spoke about that in the last Miami. He has the musagim that he was stuck in this world. He lives within the next world. I told you once, I think maybe last year, that there's a famous Yiddish writer. What also in Hebrew, but there's a famous Yiddish writer, and he wrote a story that I read as a child, and I read it in the English translation. I didn't read it in the Yiddish. I read it in the English, and it's a beautiful story. I mean, it's a painful story, but it's a beautiful story. Some of you will remember that we spoke about it. Some of you might know the story, but there was a guy, and his name was Buncha, a Yid, and he had a terrible life. His wife left him, his kids left him. Yeah, there was no money, and everybody made fun of him. Everything that could go wrong with a person's life, this was a bunch. But he never answered back. He never had kindness. He never said anything. He went. It's called Bunch of Shvai. He was Bunch of the Silent. Didn't say anything. Never answered, but never had kindness against the Kosh Baruch Hu, against people. Even though they laughed at him and threw things at him. So the writer describes, and Bunch of finally, when he dies, and he's freed from this miserable world where everybody was making fun of him and hurting him. And he comes to Olam Haba, and describes that in Olam Haba there's a gewaldig big kabbalas panim. All the malachim, hamalachim, yechafezim, chiler hada yechazim, like his bunch is coming. This tzaddik of a yid who suffered so terribly, he never had a taina, never said anything bad. So all the angels are coming there, and they're singing, and it's a whole big to-do. And he comes there, bunch, and he doesn't know what's going on. He's afraid to lift up his head. And he just has his eyes on the floor. And it's shining, and he could barely keep his eyes open. He hears that they're describing his life. He didn't know at the beginning that it was him they were talking about. They're talking about from the time that he was a child, his parents left him, like, you know, left him someplace, and other people raised him, and then he was raised by people who were beating him, and then, I mean, mamish from the beginning, tsaros. And he starts to hear this, and he thinks, you know, I think they're talking about me. And they keep on talking, the malachim is saying, and then when his rebbe he threw him out and beat him up, did Buncha complain? No. And then again, when he went to this, and his wife left him for somebody else, Buncha, no. And when his children, the kids spat at him and left him, and no, Gunsh. It's like, doesn't say. And the malachim, I never heard of such a thing. They're such a tzaddik of a person, right? And they're talking, and Buncha hears that they're talking about him. And then finally, they finish going through this whole story. I don't remember, it was so many years ago, but I think he was even trampled to death by a wagon. And he hears this whole story, and they're talking about him, and he's still like afraid to look up. Who was he, Buncha, to look up? And then he hears a malach, and the malach, Heva Michal, says, Buncha, my child, or maybe it's Hashem, saying, ask anything that you want. Anything that you want, it's yours. That you went in such a way with absolute silence, that you didn't raise your voice to complain against man or against God. Bunch of whatever you want is yours. So you remember what he asked for? Remember who remembers? Because I told the story. He saw, this is unbelievable. So he said, I remember, it was the Malach of Hashem, he said, if you wouldn't mind, if I could have every morning a piece of toast with butter, that would be okay. Now, that's what I read in the English, that's where the story ended. In the collected writings of Yud Lamed Peretz, that's where the story ended. So I was so moved by this story, that such a humble person, you know, even there, and they ask him anything he wants. So I was talking to my father about this story. My father said, that's not how the story ends. That's maybe in the English, but that's not the story in Yiddish. That's not how it ended. So I said, what's the ending in Yiddish? My father said, the ending in Yiddish is that after Buncha said that he would like a piece of bread, a toast with butter, then from the depths of hell, they were able to hear Satan himself, the Satan laughing. From the depths of hell, they heard Satan let out a tremendous laugh. That's how it ends in the Yiddish. You hear the nafkamina between the two endings? It's a very big difference. How it ends in the English and how it ends in the Yiddish. The English, it ended on a happy little, on a nice note. But the Yiddish is what parents wanted, was the point that parents wanted to make. What was the point that parents wanted to make? He said, all of us Jews and Gullus, these Gullus eating big tzaddikim. He says, we're not tzaddikim, we're just idiots. He says, Buncha wasn't a tzaddik, he was an idiot. V'haraya, what was the raya? That here the Baruch Shalom says, then you could have anything you want. Doesn't ask for Torah, doesn't ask for Tefillah, doesn't ask for Mashiach, doesn't ask for any garbage. What does he want? He wants a piece of bread. This is his hasagas. He's a nobody. He's a nothing. So he doesn't have any hasagas. So what's he asking for? That's a tzaddik. That's not a tzaddik. That's just a person who has who's such a nobody, who's been so completely destroyed by life and by golus that he doesn't even remember what it means to be a human being. That's not a Bal Madrega. And of course, Peres is making fun of the Golas Jew, and he's making fun of Frum Yidden too. That's what he's making fun. The whole story is to make fun of Frum Yidden. It's not a nice story. Bunch of the silent. Bunch of nothing to say. But he was such an idiot. His wife gets up and leaves him. He has nothing to talk. He has nothing to say. His children leave him. He has nothing to say. Not because he's a chacham. Not because he's a tzaddik. Not because he's a savlin. He's some sort of a lamed vavnik. He's a nobody. He's nobody. Life doesn't mean anything. He doesn't have anything like this. And he's an oilam ha'emes, an oilam haba. All the biggest hasag he has is to have a piece of toast and butter. That's his hasag of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the aliyah of Bunches Neshama. It's b'chalal not a musig of what it means to be here or to be there. A person who lives on Shabbos in this world like a piece of wood, that's his whole musig of what? Of Dveikus B'Hashem. So what's his next world? That's what he explains. Hanashama Hamatsuya Sham Hainu. What does it mean that the Neshama is there? Hanashama Hamatsuya Sham. What does it mean for the Neshama? The word Neshama has the word Sham in it. Neshama has Sham. What does that mean? Over there. Hainu Shadovka Bashemzbach. Over there doesn't mean a different place. It means as opposed to here, where there's everything that's blocking Hashem, over there means, doesn't mean a different physical location, it means Dveikus B'Hashem. Hanu shedovka b'Hashem Yisbarach, u'misadenes l'or ziv ha'shchina. It's misadenes l'or ziv ha'shchina. It's delighting in the ziv. The ziv ha'shchina is here too. Olam Haba is not another place. The Ziv HaShechina is here. And therefore, the tzaddikim live in a place of Gan Eden in this world. It's not that you have to go somewhere else. On the Shum, it says, Chayim Shadovka B'Hashem Yisbarach Misadenes L'or Ziv HaShechina B'Zeh Einu Metzuya Oid Po. That's what it means, it's not here. As a different hasaga. The same way, what it means that the neshamas of the grandparents come down to the chuppah. Doesn't mean they move somewhere. It means that they were bechlal not thinking about chuppahs, and they weren't thinking about weddings. They were dveik and basham. They're in the same planet, the same world, the same universe. There was a whole machlokes back by the trial of Eichmann Yimach Shemai V'Zichrei. There was a lot of stuff at that time. It opened up the whole parasha of the war, and the people were just not looking, not thinking. There was a certain writer who was a choshev yid, and I think a yid was Shem Mitzvahs. I'm pretty sure that he testified at Eichmann's trial. He testified at Eichmann's trial. But his testimony was only like something like two sentences. Because what happened was he started to say, and then he looked at Eichmann in the booth, and he passed out. He fainted. They had taken him to the hospital. I forgot his name. He was a writer, a choshev writer. He wrote also in Yiddish. And what did he say? He said one thing, and it became a big. He wrote about it in all the newspapers. He said that Auschwitz was a different planet. It was a different planet. It was a different place. It wasn't this world. It was a planet of evil. So on that nusach that he said, Yesh darshan l'shavach, v'yesh darshan l'gnai. You understand? Why would anybody why would anybody say that that was something that he shouldn't have said? Although no one's judging him, he went through all of that. But there were people, there were other survivors who were very upset with him for saying that. There were survivors that agreed, and there were survivors who were very upset that he said such a thing. Why would any of the survivors been upset? No? Rabbi Yisai. When this Yid, who himself went through Gehenna, all the Maduras of Gehenna, he said it was a different planet. A lot of the survivors were upset, very upset when he said that. Why? Why were they upset? That's one point. Okay, it's a place. In that place was a Gevaldig, there were Gevaldig Kiddush Hashem also. But I think there was another reason besides. Good. As if the Rabbi Shalom is not there. As many people said after the war, there was a whole school of philosophy in Scandinavia that God is dead. He used to be alive, and then in the Holocaust he died. No. But there was something else that bothered them. What was bothering many of the survivors is that you make it sound. Again, they weren't angry at him. They loved him, but they said, "You make it sound as if when you say it's a different planet, it's as if it's michutz from the gedarim of this world. There was an evil that was michutz from this world." But their taina was that those same Nazis who we faced every day in the concentration camp, they would go home at night and they would feed their dogs and they'd sing lullabies to their children. They would go home at night, and they would read the newspaper, and put on their slippers and their robes after shoving Jews into the oven the whole day. So the taina was, it's not a different planet, it's this planet. And by saying it's another planet, you are in some way diminishing the evil of what took place by saying it's a different planet. It wasn't a different planet. It was this planet that we live on. And there are people on this planet who are capable of such evil. This bothered a lot of the survivors. That he used a lotion, it was another planet. It wasn't this planet. No, it was this planet. It was this planet. When I was growing up, my father never wanted us to say Nazis. He wanted us to say Germans. He didn't want us to say Nazis. Still, he's mocked we say Germans. Because you give the impression that Nazi, that there's a different gather of a thing that's called a Nazi. A Nazi is mechutz from the regular gedarm of a human being. There's a thing called a Nazi that lives for a few years. There was this metzias of a Nazi. So my father says, no, they're called Germans. They're called Germans. They lived for a long time before and they're still alive. They're called Germans, not Nazis. Because you belong to a certain party and it's called a German. It's not another planet, it's this planet. So in Ra, a person can do that also. In Ra, a person can go into such a thing to think that there's a place of Gehenna and there's a place of Gan Eden, or there's an Olam Haba and there's a Gehenna, when the emphasis is that the Gehenna is inside the heart of a person. It's not a place. It's not a place with a pitchfork and a devil and a rotisserie or something. It's not a place. It's a metzius in a person, of where the person is, of who the person is, of what he thinks about, what his life is about. It's not another planet. It's a terrible mistake, another planet. It's this planet. Olam Haba is not some other place. Gan Eden and Gehenna is not a different place. The Shechina doesn't live somewhere else. What does it mean that there's a Ashoz HaShechina by the Makam HaMikdash more than other? How do you measure that? That's not for now. There is such an Indian. There's more hisgalus of Elokus in certain places where it's less covered. So, but it doesn't mean that he's here and he's not there. He's there, he's not here. Elam Haba, Elam Hazer, all of these Masagim are just in words, but in Ruchnius it means the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed and the less the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is covered. That's all it means. No such thing as places. Hanashum Hanasham What do you mean that the neshama is over there? It doesn't mean in a place. It means that it's dovuk to Hashem. It's dovuk to Hashem. The ze ain't mutsui od po. That's what it means. It's not here. It doesn't mean it moved. It could be in Yerushalayim. A person could be sitting in Yerushalayim and thinking the whole time Yerushalayim about being in Chutz Laaretz. And then you have another Jew that's sitting in Chutzlars, he thinks the whole time about being in Yerushalayim, like we spoke about a few weeks ago. So who's more in Eretz Yisrael? The guy that lives in Eretz Yisrael and lives dreaming about is moving to America, or the guy that lives in America and is dreaming about living in Eretz Yisrael? Could be he's more in Eretz Yisrael than the guy that lives in Yerushalayim and is dreaming about how to get out of Eretz Yisrael. This one is a Shtoike Kusvan Aliyah, and the other one has what? Has an Inavina Yerid. There's Animutsi Oidpo. This world means this world. Olam Hazeh means a mitzias where Hashem's covet is hidden, where Hashem is concealed, and that's why people say what they want to say. They go and they do what they say, and they could say there's no such thing as a Ribbono Shel'Olam, and this doesn't mean this and that doesn't mean that. They could call light darkness and darkness light because there's such a hestapon into the person. That's Olam Hazeh. Therefore, the more that a person is able to bring his neshama to rule over his guf, in other words, to make that his galus of elokus, the ikar of his life, and in doing so, to reveal, to uncover Hashem's mitzias in this world, through one's life, that's the purpose of our lives, is to make this world a dira, to make for the Shechina a dira b'sachtainim. What does it mean, a dira, a dwelling place in this world? Hashem is here. There's no one sees. B'ze be'etzem motzi b'mokim acher madregas yabriya tachtainim. This person already lives in a different place. He walks in the same streets. He davens in the same shul. He eats the same food. But he's in a different place. He's in a different place because he's a different madrega. It's a different madrega. He lives in the world. It's a different madrega. Gam ze b'chinas olam haba. That's a b'chin of olam haba. L'ze amru, and that's what they mean, Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Because on Shabbos, there's an aliyah, and a person can join and connect to that aliyah, and in doing so, to raise himself higher than the hestaponim of the 6 days of the week. And in Mele, it's me'ein olam haba. It's not completely, obviously, because there's still so much separating, it's covering, and so on. But it's me'ein, it's a taste, it's a tam, something of olam haba. Havein eifai sha'an neshama eina eisham. Kasha'imim shabar. Therefore, this person is explaining to the mechutin over there by the chuppah. He says, doesn't mean that the neshamas were over there, and the neshamas came from over there to the chasma over here. That they came to the chuppah over here. The neshama didn't come from the olam haba. The neshama didn't take some sort of transportation to come to this world. The neshama never left. The neshama is in the same place. The neshama never goes anywhere. Climber, the chol makom, lamayla megulus makom. The neshama is everywhere. Because the neshama is not a physical thing that's limited to being in this place or that place. The neshama is everywhere. So what does it mean that the neshama comes to the chuppah? The neshama of the ancestors, the parents, the grandparents have come to the chuppah. What does that mean? El shabar, haynu shenif al kesher gilui beino levein ha'olam hazeh. Means that the neshama was given the opportunity. The neshama is not looking at any of the coverings of this world. It's looking only at the Bari Olam, not at any chasnas, even if it's the most expensive and fanciest with the most flowers and the biggest chuppah. The neshama doesn't care about stuff like that. Any person who's a Baal Neshama, even in this world, doesn't care about stuff like that. The Neshama doesn't care about stuff like that. So the Neshama has no shaykhs to this world. And what is a chasna, this in you, that in you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns the attention of the Neshama to the chasna. Even though the Neshama is b'chlal not in that place. Doesn't mean physically here or there. The Neshama is everywhere. The Neshama is Dovuk Tarshad. It's not thinking about, same way it's not thinking about what's going on in Midtown Manhattan. He's not thinking about what's going on, the wedding hall. He's not thinking about earning a living. He's not thinking about this. He's not thinking about that. He's thinking about one thing. Ein Oid Malvada, that's it. Doesn't have an inyan with the wedding hall. So, Elisha Bo, the Neshama comes, it means what comes into the world. The Chuppah means, Ha'inu Shenifel Kesha Gili Bein Oid Levein Oid Mazer. Kesher shalei hayakar l'machein, and that kesher was not before that connection, because the neshama was totally swept up and lost in the ocean of dveikus Hashem. Wasn't didn't have a shaychus to this, didn't have a thought about this chosn, this kala, this thing. It didn't. And that the perhaps you think davka by chasna, but you see it's a very high level of a yichud that goes on by chasna, by chosn kala. It's a very big yichud. Stam, the neshama doesn't. The neshama is not distracted by other things of this world. Stam, but by a chuppah is a big thing. The yichud that takes place by chasn kal, the zivug of chasn kal. It's a very, very, very great big thing. It says in Svarim also that by the davening of Hashem Kippur, the neshama has come from the higher world into the shul. There's only a few things where it says that the neshama comes to this world. By chasna, by Yom Nirayim, comes into shul. What does that mean? The neshamas come to the shul. It doesn't have to do with a trip. It's the same thing that we're talking about now. Me'yoyisamuvas l'smoich b'simchas tzelksoyim. That it didn't have any kesher, and now it's brought back into this kesher of having a shaychis to the children, to the grandchildren, whatever, to the grandchildren. By the chuppah, and he'll continue on to explain. We're going to stop here, but he goes on to explain that what do you think we're talking now? What are we talking now? From the time that we're children, about Elion Avi coming to the saving. And my father told me that in Europe he had a cousin that was a little bit crazy, and this cousin had a whole thing with Elion Avi, and he ran over by Pesach with it. He prepared a can of paint. He was Machal Yontif. He went with a can of paint and he threw it by Shvar Chamos. He thought it was going to come out to be Elion Avi. That he was going to throw the paint over Elion Avi. In the end, he says my father's uncle whacked the kid and he messed up the whole door and one of the ladies' dresses. And he threw paint. He thought he was going to make Elion Avi. He's going to be Megal Elion Avi. So what does it mean? It's Gili Elio. You could have Gili Elio. Like the Maestro of the Rishna, there was a Yid that came to the Rishna. He asked the Rishna that the Rishna should help him, that he should have Bishizoicha to have Gili Elio. So he went to the Rishna. He wanted this Yid. He wanted to have Gili Elio. So the Rishna told him that he can't sleep in a bed for 40 days and 40 nights. He can't sleep in a bed. And whatever, he gave him some other things. He has to eat only plain something. And so the 40 days ended, and this Yid is waiting, to have a Gili Elio. It was 40 days, he didn't sleep in a bed. And the Rishna told him that he should go into the barn. He came to the Rishna, I don't know, Elio, he says, go to the barn over there, you see over there by the horses. He goes into the barn, runs into the barn to see Elio Navi. And he comes back, he says to the Rishna, he says, there's nothing there, it's a fed. There's a horse over there. He says, that's not just a horse. That horse didn't sleep in a bed for 40 days and 40 nights. Not stomach head. So what does it mean, Gili Eliyahu? To see Eliyahu HaNavi. What does it mean, Eliyahu comes to a bris? What does it mean, Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the Seder? What does that mean? So we're going to learn to understand what that is. And it's not going to disappoint any of the little children inside of us. We'll still be excited. But it doesn't mean that he has to drink from the glass. You know, that he has to drink from the Kais Shel Eliyahu in order that he should come to the Seder. We'll see him, it's Hashem. We'll continue. So I have a Simcha next Monday night. So we'll continue the following Monday night.